Sources from the Sofa. We are here, me, Jason, Aaron, to break down round two of the college football playoffs. First, we got Miami against Ohio State. I'm assuming that's on New Year's Eve.
Yep. Yeah, Wednesday, Rome. Yeah.
And then everything else is on New Year's Day.
Correct.
Why? I like it when everything's on New Year's Day. I don't like it. At least they're not doing like three games this time on New Year's Eve because it interrupts like all the parties and everything else. Was that like 2 years ago when they had like too many games on New Year's Eve and everyone was complaining because like you're trying to watch games, yeah, but you're trying to get drunk, trying to party.
Wasn't New Year's Day like a Sunday because that's because the NFL had it? Is that why?
I don't remember.
That, I think just the overall day of the week probably matters because they're trying to space things out to get it done in a certain time of period. So yeah. I think that plays a lot to do with it.
This is nice though. One Wednesday, one Thursday, or three Thursday. I can deal with that. We have Oregon, Texas Tech, Alabama, Indiana, and Ole Miss against Georgia. Anything you guys want to tackle in college football before we get into it? Or should we just jump into it? Up to you guys.
So I do have one comment. Into it. Okay.
I do have a comment about Notre Dame, about their scheduling. I just feel like they're being really big divas about everything. And, you know, USC and the Big Ten, they have a heavy slate. I totally get why they don't want to have Notre Dame at the end. Whatever happened to anywhere, anytime, any place, but yet they refuse to put USC back on the schedule. And this is the same for other opponents. Time to join a conference. It is time to join a conference. I'm with everybody else. Notre Dame, big divas on this whole scheduling thing. Just get up to number 12 and you're in. I'm not buying it. Not buying it.
Well, I mean, if you're, you know, the top 12 in the playoffs and you get the top 12 in the nation, you know, what more do they need to do?
Yeah, I mean, why does USC want to break tradition? This isn't like something, anything new. Notre Dame travels to USC in November and they go up there in October. This isn't rocket science.
Hmm. Interesting.
The bottom line is, I'm sure Rome could touch on this, or Jason could touch on it, is Lincoln Riley and USC want to play Notre Dame in August and September because that's when Notre Dame loses all their games and that's when they're most vulnerable. And he's afraid to play Marcus Freeman late in the year when their teams get better and Lincoln Riley's teams suck later in the year. That's just the bottom line.
Well, it does make sense that all the Big Ten teams also do out, they're out of the conference in the earlier in the season and not in the latter half of the season. So I totally buy that stance.
I mean, it's an overall thing by the Big Ten and the SEC for these teams that they have no incentive to schedule any sort of big out-of-conference games because you look at the SEC for majority of them. We talked about this weeks ago. Like, they schedule three, but whatever Division II is called nowadays, if I forget the acronym, but they schedule three of those teams on their out-of-conference schedule or two of those in one FBS school or something like that. There is no real tough competition. So the incentive for USC is like, hey, I schedule, you know, a Mountain West school and, you know, two other nobodies in my non-conference because I'm going to play this tough Big Ten slate, even though is it really that tough some of the times you question because – you know, look at Indiana, we questioned last year, and some of these teams this year. You have one basically big showcase game, and then you play a bunch of second to third tier Big Ten schools in a lot of these matchups. So there's
USC's schedule looks pretty tough next year.
Potentially.
Out of conference, they got Fresno State and Louisiana. Real tough, guys.
Yeah, Fresno State. Fresno State always has NFL guys.
Like 10, 15 years ago, maybe, you know, when Bernard Berry was Devontae Adams
and Carr there or what?
Yeah.
I mean, they do got Eric Warner.
It's a valid take, Rome. I'm not going to say as a Notre Dame fan that the independent thing does rarely run thin in the modern college football. They're still getting all the breaks. Notre Dame's problem is going to be is you're going to criticize their schedule ever because no one's going to want to play them because now you basically got the Big Ten and SEC schools, what's the incentive to play a good Notre Dame team? I mean, Notre Dame does have, I think in 2028, 2029, they got like Texas and Bama and a couple of those people on the future facing schedule. So they're trying to schedule big time opponents, but you know, if they're going to be relying on the five ACC games and their, you know, pseudo partnership, the Navy game,
the one that's falling apart.
it seems like fences have been mended, because I think they both realize that Notre Dame probably needs the ACC just to fill out their schedule at this point.
Yeah.
And then the ACC needs Notre Dame because the conference is on the verge of collapse. You know, as Aaron and I've talked about with Clemson, Florida State, you know, and Miami trying to find an exit to a conference that's going to pay them more money. So I think there's a need for both ends. Like Notre Dame at the end will have a lot of questions if the ACC does collapse, and what's going to be like their, who's going to be their ally in wanting to schedule this team. Cause you need, hey, you're going to need a 7 teams basically beside, cause you're going to have Navy. They're going to play all the time cause it's tradition and they don't care. And then, you know, who else? Because some of the traditional rivals Notre Dame have, if you remember from our childhood, Michigan, Michigan State, you know, some of those other schools that are there. I mean, they can rely on Purdue scheduling them for the big, you know, for the big Indiana Bowl. But, I mean, I don't see Indiana lining up to put Notre Dame on the schedule either if they want to make that a thing. So,
yeah, Rome, going back to your point, I mean, I think Notre Dame is going to be in a conference by 2030 because, as Jason said, I think the ACC is going to be broken up. Clemson, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina, Duke, they're all going to get out of it some way, probably by 2028, and then by 2030 they go their own way. So Notre Dame will get into a conference. I actually think, like Jason just said, this benefits Notre Dame because nobody plays them. So then they just beat everybody and they look good. They're going to get in the top 12 because they're not going to keep an 11-1, 12-0 Notre Dame team out of the playoff. They're going to beat everybody by an average of 20, 30 points, and everyone's going to be like, well, we know they got NFL players. We know they're good, so they're automatically a top 12 team. So you're actually doing a disservice not playing them. And look, at Notre Dame tries to play people. I mean, they played A&M. They play Miami. They play Miami again next year. Arkansas. It's not like they go out and play cupcakes. I mean, the ACC is down right now, but Florida State should be back. Clemson should be back. Miami, Virginia Tech. All these teams will eventually get good, and then there'll be teams that are SMU. Then there'll be teams that go back to the middle of the pack. Same with the Big Ten. I mean, the Big Ten was supposed to be great this year. Outside of really Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State, it's a mediocre conference.
All right. Thanks for partaking in that stuff, guys. I'm ready to get back into the playoffs. First game, Miami against Ohio State. Ohio State favored by 9.5. Now, Aaron, I didn't bother looking at like what bowl games these are.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. This is the Cotton Bowl, Rome.
The Cotton Bowl.
I'm shocked that you just said it like that, Aaron. I didn't bother to look. Generally, you'd have some commentary about like it not having the network and the time and whatever that Aaron.
Well, we don't have the rankings,
you
but
there.
You know, I guess it doesn't matter. It's just the playoffs. Rankings would have been nice.
The audience should already know what the ranking is, nice. Rome. It's not like it changed in the last month.
Nah, but you know,
it's the same ranking.
Good references here. A bowl game would have been nice.
I'll stay. You, if you want, Rome, I can introduce a game. So you got 10 seed Miami against 2 seed Ohio State at the Cotton Bowl. 4:30 p.m. kickoff here Wednesday, Pacific time.
Nice.
As you mentioned, Ohio State favored by 9.5, over under 40.5.
So
it's not only the Cotton Bowl, it's the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic.
Nice. They added the classic?
Apparently, it's a classic now.
It's not presented by Goodyear anymore?
No, it is. It's the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic.
Okay. Wow. Nice. Big mouthful. All right, Aaron, take it away.
Yeah, that's a hard act to follow there, Rome. But yeah, you got Ohio State defending national champs against Miami. You know, Miami got a lot of, you know, kind of heat from Notre Dame fans and people after they got selected by the committee to get in the playoff. I had a nice opening win against Texas A&M, late interception there. 9.5 point dogs here, like you mentioned. I mean, I'm going, Rome, I like over 40.5 points in this game. That's where I'm going, over 40.5. If I'm looking for some action on this game, I know Ohio State's got a great defense. I think they only give up 8.5 points a game. I heard Joe Klatt talking about it earlier. That's the best defensive numbers-wise points since 2011's Alabama football team. But interesting, Ryan Day taking over play calling for the playoff for Ohio State is Brian Hartline, as we talked about before, taking the South Florida job. So him, you know, recruiting staff, all that, they've kind of taken that off his plate. So I think we'll see a little more of an aggressive approach from Ohio State, maybe breaking tendencies from what you've seen since you got a different play caller. And Miami, Carson Beck, you know, we talk about it. Can he not turn the ball over? Can he manage the game, make some big plays in the passing game? They'll have opportunities. You know, Ohio State plays a lot of man-to-man coverage. There's a lot of speed on the outside from Miami. Can they protect him? Can they run the game, get some play action going? But Carson Beck, if he can have a big game, potential to keep it close. I think it's – I lean towards Miami covering 9.5, but I do like the over 40.5. I think Ohio State's going to score some points, maybe a pick six or two either way. So I'm going to say the final score in this one's 31-17. I'll take the over, like I said.
Ohio State has been like the most consistent college football team all year round, aside from the championship game where they finally got exposed a little bit. And then Miami has either been really good with some impressive wins this year, or they've had some pretty impressive losses as well on both sides of the spectrum. They killed it in round one. They absolutely dominated with the defensive performance. So I'm really curious what Miami team shows out. Does your guy, Cristobal, come through in the clutch and deliver in this game, or is it going to be like a complete letdown and Ohio State just runs away with it?
I mean, I agree with Aaron with the over in this game, but I think the 9.5 is a tough line, but because I do think Ohio State wins, as you talked about the consistency where they've been all season, but I think Miami keeps this closer. I mean, they did have the big mess up, you know, into that games when they talked about the SMU game and their two losses on the year. But then, you know, there was other games where they're really competitive. And, you know, when you talked about size of this team, you know, on the line specifically, defensive line, offensive line, I mean, they have guys that are like SEC, Big Ten level that you talked about in competing in the college football playoff that Miami probably hasn't had since that maybe heyday of the 2003 team that played Ohio State in the national championship that had like Jeremy Chockey and Sean Taylor and like everybody else on that. So I think Ohio State wins, but I think this is a good showing for Miami to keep it close and cover the 9.5.
I personally never liked Miami because they cost my Nebraska a championship. They humiliated a Nebraska. What year was that? They had Couch as quarterback. Tim Couch, was that 2000, 2001, something like that?
Eric Crouch, right?
Eric Crouch.
Yeah, there you go.
Crouch,
not Couch.
Source for the sofa, couch. Man. Sofa, couch, it kind of just clicks.
Yeah. All right.
Was that 2001, 2002, I want to say? Early 2000s.
Yeah, I was rooting for them. And they got it, even though they had like three losses.
That was during Miami. When did Miami win like 33 out of 34 games? Because that was Ken Dorsey there at quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Remember, he was like the winningest quarterback in college football history percentage-wise until now you got guys playing like 60 games. But like back in the day, yeah.
He was really good. Did nothing in the NFL. All right. Oregon, Texas Tech.
Yeah, this is the Orange Bowl, right?
The Orange Bowl. I don't know. It's not on your list.
Yeah, Orange Bowl.
All right. Interesting.
It's an interesting 9 o'clock start our time. So, I mean, obviously it's noon out there in Florida, but 9 o'clock Oregon starting, obviously they've been off for a while, probably already, you know, been in town for 5 days or whatever it is, but interesting start for an Orange Bowl. I don't ever remember an Orange Bowl starting at 9 a.m. ever in history. Always seemed to be one of the afternoon big games. What do you got? Oregon favored by 2.5, over under 51.5. I mean, Texas Tech's an interesting team because we talk about, you know, you guys talked about teams playing soft preseason schedules. I mean, Texas Tech had nobody of relevancy in their offseason schedule, really preseason. I mean, they didn't play anybody. I mean, they're the only team ever, I think, in college football history to win all 12 games by 20 points or more average. So how good is Texas Tech? That's a real question I have. I mean, I know they beat BYU twice. BYU, Rome, you said you watched that Pop-Tart game against Georgia Tech. Pretty even matchup there. A lot of questions I got for Tech. Obviously, they got a great defense. They've shown out and balled out with that. Can their offense score against a good Oregon defense? Oregon blowing out James Madison and brought in the third string kind of left a bad taste in their mouth. I think the play here is Oregon money line. I'm not even going to touch the spread at 2.5. It's one of those games where they could win by two. If you're betting this one, I'd take Oregon on the money line, lay the juice, and don't have the points affect you here.
Jason.
I think Oregon's got a little bit to prove considering like where they were in the playoff last year, where this team was the consensus number one undefeated, you know, really thought they were going to kind of run the show. And, you know, they got the first round bye last year. This would be the interesting to watch. We didn't mention them in the Miami Ohio State game, but last year the teams in the bye really struggled. And so considering how many days a lot of these teams have had off since their last game versus a team like Oregon, who got to play basically a tune-up game versus James Madison. And, you know, while not a challenge, hey, the guys were on the field and things were happening. I'm curious on what that trend's going to be like in this one as you compare the second year of this. I agree with Aaron. I like Oregon. 2.5 is an interesting number. And so you got to think if we're talking in the margins, I might stretch myself a little more for them to cover that 2.5 if I'm putting money on this.
So there's like an interesting stat for this morning game. Right when you said it's a morning game, I think there's a stat that West Coast teams, when they go play a morning game on the East Coast, they're like 30% winning percentage. It's not good. They just wake up. It's just too early because you're still like on that early time o'clock, because basically they're waking up at 6 a.m. They're playing a game 3 hours before they even hit their peak physical conditioning throughout the year.
That's your typical week when you travel, right? But yeah. I'm sure they've probably been in Florida since, you know, maybe probably the weekend. They should be accustomed now to the time. I mean, yeah, during the season, it's a game I would not touch because, like you mentioned, Rome, you're traveling out there on a Thursday night, Friday morning. You're doing a walkthrough Friday night, and you're waking up at 6 a.m. Saturday for a kickoff. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was like a crazy – I'm trying to pull it up because I know I bookmarked this somewhere, but I just I know I learned how to bookmark
We talk about it all the time in the NFL, but it's a real thing.
I just don't know how to find bookmarks on X.
Like gotta go to your prof. I don't know. You might want to question what you've bookmarked in the past, and you don't remember what you did. So
hey, it's an X. It's just got two more X's on the end when he's got bookmarked. But that's a topic for another day.
I don't mess with that stuff, dude. It's all a tease.
Hey, Rum, you ain't got to lie to us, but we'll keep it clean here for the audience.
We'll keep it clean. Yeah. All right. So Oregon money line against Texas Tech. I gotta be honest with you, Texas Tech has gotten close to getting their ass kicked a few times in the later half of the season. They dominated in the first half, but a lot to question whether this team is good or not. They're like last year's Indiana, just not enough games to prove themselves, and that's a big question mark. Don't know what to expect. All right, next game, Alabama, Indiana. For me, this is the game of the week. This is the
I would agree, Rome. This is the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. You've got the Alabama 7-point underdog against Indiana.
It's the Rose Bowl presented by Prudential. I just want to make sure Rome's got the full
Prudential.
Prudential now, huh?
Who did it used to be?
I thought it was Citibank, right?
That was not the original one, but probably like South Park, shitty Chinese food, shitty wok. All right, but Alabama, yeah, so Indiana.
Yeah, Alabama 7-point underdog, 48 is the over-under here. You know, Jason brought up a key point earlier about how a lot of teams off a bye last year lost in the opening game coming back. Obviously, the one seed Ohio State beat one seed Oregon last year. I like Alabama here to upset Indiana, to be honest with you. I know that a lot of people are liking Indiana here to roll. I like Alabama to cover 7. I trust Kellen DeBoer in big games. We've seen what he's done big game after big game when you count Alabama, Washington, whoever out. Indiana's been kind of resting for a while. Got the Heisman winner. You know, usually the guys that win the Heisman do not do good in bowl games, playoffs, etc. Chris Agnetti, you know, he's an Alabama guy. Nick Saban, going back down memory lane. The last time Alabama was in the Rose Bowl, they lost a Harbaugh in Michigan on the last play of the game. I think this one comes back down to the same type of sequence. I'm taking Bama +7, and I like them to upset Indiana.
Jay.
Well, before I get into my pick, I just want to circle back here, doing a little research. Aaron was giving a very, very well-researched, reasonable take. I just want to go back to the sponsorship thing. AT&T sponsored the Rose Bowl from 1916 to 1998.
Okay.
So, like, forever.
Yeah.
Sony and PlayStation 2 got it 1 year, 2003.
I do remember that.
Then I was right. Citibank sponsored them 04 to 2010. Then you had Vizio from 2011 to 2014. Vizio. Northwest Mutual, 2015 to 2020. Capital One from 2021 to 2022. And since 2023, it's been Prudential. AT&T, right. though, 1916 to 1998, man. That's a real presenting sponsor right there.
That's crazy, man. AT&T is still around, too.
Best network if you listen to their commercials.
Oh, dude, I had AT&T 1 year. I'll never go back. It was bad. It was rough. Could not get one fucking phone call in.
I don't disagree. But I'll move on to the picks right now, Rome.
Did you have a rant about AT&T before?
Oh, I definitely did, man.
Oh, we got to pull that out.
They ruined DirecTV, all right? They ruined DirecTV. That's what it was. Couldn't access Sunday Ticket on the app and usernames and passwords. And, you know, password works to pay the bill but doesn't work to sign into what I'm paying for, you know? Whatever.
That was my problem with Xfinity. All right, so your take, Jason.
I agree with Aaron on this one. I'm not bold enough as Aaron to say that Bama's going to win this, but I think the 7 points for Indiana is a lot. I know Indiana has been impressive throughout the year, but Bama, for all their faults and the questions, and I was probably one of them questioning why they're in this tournament versus Notre Dame with the three losses that they did have, and they're basically no show in the SEC championship game. But they showed up versus an Oklahoma team that was really good.
Really good.
And when you think about how you balance in the committee, and I'll talk of both sides of my mouth in this one, you know, as the Notre Dame fan, the three losses for Bama throughout the season, you know, were bad. But their stretch of wins, I probably put them up against anyone else in the country on the gauntlet they did on that winning streak they went on. So Indiana, while had some really good wins in some Big Ten, they also played a lot of Big Ten teams that were not up to snuff. I think Bama, you know, has the horses. Agree with Aaron, with Kalen DeBoe. I'm not willing to say they're going to win it, but I
so
will
you got
say
Indiana plus seven,
Bama
no,
plus seven,
Bama plus seven.
But you have it listed as Alabama.
It should be
minus
plus.
Seven.
It should be plus. Rome. That was a mistake by me.
Wow. Okay.
When I was talking to you earlier, I forgot to put a plus when I put a minus.
I was wondering. All right. So Alabama covers plus seven. I would take it with the points, but I just think Indiana is just too polished right now. Oh, they look really good. And they put a clinic on Ohio State. You're right, though. Heisman, there's just so much fanfare. I think the reason why those teams underperform in the playoffs is just because it's like an award show. You know, you have like a pre-conclusion to the season already before it's even over. They should push that back until after the championships. Like do like what baseball does, what hockey does, have an award ceremony afterwards. Because I feel like those awards kind of stall the season a little bit. And it's a big high. You just won the Heisman. You're collecting all these awards. It's a big high. And then you got to come back and get to work, you know, feeling really good about yourself. It's really hard to go to work after you collected a few checks and a few awards. You know?
Well, yeah, not only that, I mean, you're almost talking 4 weeks. And you got a team that's just coming in, as you guys mentioned, off a big win a little over a week ago at Oklahoma. So you get a big game like that. That's not easy. 80,000 fans there. You now go to the Rose Bowl, a site, you know, Kellen DeBoer, Alabama's familiar with. They, you know, they've been there for playoff games. Kellen DeBoer's been there, obviously, as an ex-Pac-12 coach. So he's kind of familiar with the landscape. It's going to be a tight game. It's going to be a close game, no doubt. 7 points is too much. So I expect that game by kickoff. I think the Sharps will be on Alabama too. Might get down to 6, 5.5. So I jump on it early if you can get 7.
Nice. Last game for round two. Ole Miss sans Lane Kiffin against the Georgia Bulldogs, who, Aaron, you were kind of predicting their downfall early in this season, but they came through with some tough wins. And I was not convinced, so I thought they were going to trip up. But they just kept on coming up win after win. Tough win after win, and really escaping, and now they're here in the playoffs with one of the top four seeds. Who'd have thunk it? But I feel like momentum's on their side, and without Lane Kiffin and some of the coaching changes, I don't think this is a matchup, but break it down for us.
Sugar Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, this is the same site last year. Notre Dame, Georgia took the field. Is that correct, Jason?
That's correct.
So we saw what happened last year at the Sugar Bowl with Notre Dame beating Georgia. But this is different. You know, you've got the quarterback who's now had a year of playing under his belt for Georgia. In Ole Miss, no Lane Kiffin. I mean, offensively, they look good. I mean, I know they have Weiss Jr. still calling the plays, but defensively, Mississippi gives up a lot. Georgia loves to beat up on Mississippi. They love to beat up on them, man. That's the only team that beat them, I believe, during the regular season this year as well. I like Georgia. I like the Bulldogs to roll in this game. This is one of the more favorites I do like this week. I just think Ole Miss is going to be overmatched, overwhelmed. Georgia looks like they're kind of hitting their stride towards the end of the year. Played good against Georgia Tech. Didn't give up a lot of points. Alabama, they shut them down. Maybe Alabama was kind of coasting, knowing they already had a playoff spot locked in. But Georgia has something to prove after last year, one and done at the Sugar Bowl. Kirby Smart, he'll be ready to roll. I like Georgia to roll here. 6.5 is not enough points. I think a double-figure win here. 2 touchdowns or more for Georgia, they'll win.
2 touchdowns. All right. Jason.
Yeah, I can agree with Aaron on this one, too. You look at them, they had an 8-point win the last time they played, and Aaron's right about Ole Miss's defense, and it just how you're going to win without Lane Kiffin right now and just everything that goes with that program to a Georgia team that really put it to Bama and made a lot of people question what Bama was in the SEC championship game. I don't know if I'm as confident with Aaron in the 2 touchdowns. And the reason why is I'm going to bring up this bye week thing. When's the last time Georgia's played versus an Ole Miss team that got to take the field versus, again, a subpar opponent that's there. So that would be my question, taking a favorite that big with 6.5. But I'm gonna lean and agree with Aaron on this because I do think Georgia wins because I think they're just a better team right now.
Yeah. If you guys remember, I was going to go back on some of our college football picks here. And I think now's a good time as any to revisit that stuff. Let's see if I have it right here. You guys want to go down memory lane and recap this?
Sure. I feel like you're just going to try to prove a point right now, Barone, but that's okay.
I have no
we can
point,
play.
Actually.
No just point. We're just I don't even know
if Rome's actually checked out his own notes on this thing from
I haven't.
Back in
no,
August.
I'm raw dogging it here.
All right.
That's how you got a kid in the first place, Rome. But hey,
I wanted kids. I really did want kids. I want more kids, but all right. I won't talk any more shit. All right. So Big Ten, do you guys recall who you guys had as winning the Big Ten this year?
Penn State, I'm sure.
Yeah. Penn State unanimous all the way across. We all had Penn State, Ohio State as the top two teams. And then I had Illinois, Michigan as the top four.
Okay.
I feel like I nailed it pretty well. Michigan's still pretty good. You had Michigan and then Oregon at number four, Aaron.
Okay.
And then Jason had Oregon and Illinois with Michigan and Indiana for like the fifth and sixth spot.
Okay.
Big 12. Do you recall who you guys had winning the Big 12?
I want to say I said Arizona State.
You did.
I think I had Texas Tech, I do believe.
You did have Texas Tech.
Yeah, I do remember that.
So Jason had ASU, followed by Utah, which was a pretty good pick. They had a pretty good year.
Yes.
Bounce back year. And then Texas Tech. Aaron, you had Texas Tech winning it, followed by ASU and Utah.
Okay.
I had ASU as well, followed by Kansas State.
They fell
tough
off.
Loss there. And then Iowa State. Iowa State started the year strong.
They did.
But, they did okay. ACC. Do you guys remember who you guys had winning that one?
I'm pretty sure I said Miami.
You did.
I know Jason said Miami.
You only gave 2 teams for this one, actually, and me and Aaron gave 4. Do you remember the other team?
He had to give Clemson, right?
I think I said Clemson.
He did. Miami and Clemson.
I mean, I probably gave you Rome, Miami, Clemson.
Florida State.
Probably, and maybe Louisville.
You had Clemson winning it,
okay.
Followed by Louisville, SMU.
Oh.
And then Florida State. You weren't too high on Florida State.
Let's but Duke won. Duke won the ACC, so we're all wrong.
Dude, I was off. I had SMU followed by Clemson, Miami, and then GT.
Yeah, GT was in the mix. They gave it away.
GT was in the mix.
Dude, they should have fucking beat BYU, dude. I hated that game. SEC.
LSU, I think we had, right?
Jason had LSU.
Okay.
Followed
I got 2 coaches fired so far.
Aaron, who'd you have winning the SEC?
Damn. I mean, if I didn't have LSU, I probably had Ole Miss and Georgia up there.
So you actually had Texas.
Okay.
Me and you picked Texas. You had LSU following them with Bama and Georgia.
Okay.
I say, yeah. Jason had LSU followed by Texas, Ole Miss, and then Alabama slash Georgia slash Texas A&M. He gave like a three-parlay there for like the fourth spot. And then I mean,
you
can
always give six teams. That's all it's really seven teams.
Didn't they get five in?
They did. So not bad. No, yeah, you at least you got Texas A&M, Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss. Yeah. And I had Texas, LSU, and Ole Miss.
So I had four out of five, just not the conference champion is what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And then the Power Five conference.
The only thing I nailed.
Yeah, Jason had Tulane.
Yeah, Tulane.
I think I had UNLV.
You did have UNLV, and I did say Memphis.
Okay.
Yeah. College football.
There was two people there where you could have taken James Madison as well and won.
I know. That's all I have written down, actually. I thought I had the championships written down, but I guess not.
I think both had Penn State versus LSU. I think we had in the national championship.
I had Ole Miss in it. It's not written down here.
Did we have Penn State LSU?
I think we did.
I'm trying to read back here.
Well, at least next year when we do the previews, Aaron, like Rome just starts writing down these are the coaches in the hot seat.
Dude, I like these little notepads. Like, this is like so easy for me to keep track of the whole season because it's just all
Rome,
on one notepad.
I was telling you about the notepad last year. You gave me a lot of shit about
this
it.
This is
now
perfect.
I'm
like,
glad
it's not the
adopted
big one.
It.
This is great. We got to get one every season. We can just bookmark these.
Rome, it's here every year, man. It's here every year.
I loved it. Now it's like, I wrote it down. Like, yeah, it was nice. All right. So back to like tomorrow or like New Year's Eve games. Yeah, I think Georgia's going to blow them out. So no competition there. Any other highlights in the world of college football?
I don't think so. You had a Notre Dame take at the top of the show. We mentioned in our last pod that Marcus Freeman was returning.
Yeah. We talked about the Michigan head coach. Yeah. No updates from Sean Moore. So.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
I will say there was an all-time tweet on Twitter against Notre Dame that was pretty hilarious, too. There was I'll give credit to to Jake Olson, 61 on Twitter. I don't think it's a parody account. I believe it's actually a former USC player that was blind. That was the snapper.
The long snapper?
Yeah.
Blind or deaf?
He was blind, I think.
Okay.
All right. I think he was. But it was Jake Olson 61 on Twitter. This tweet got a lot of play today. I thought it was hilarious. But league sources confirm Marcus Freeman declined the Giants head coaching job after the NFL rejected his proposal for the team to set its own schedule and receive an automatic playoff berth each year. I thought that
that's pretty funny.
I thought that was great.
Nice little burn. Yeah, I got nothing else. No other updates. Chip Kelly got hired at Northwestern as a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, saw that.
That guy's career has gone through like quite all not to coach UCLA. Remember that, guys. This guy's doing all this not to be the head coach at UCLA. I don't know what that says about my UCLA team.
Well, for the last 2 years, it says it was a good move. I mean, he got a national title out of it, and $6 million to coach 12 games with the Raiders. So it's not a bad gig.
Well, to show up, he didn't really coach, according to the sources. He forgot to coach.
He got him the number one draft pick. So I guess that's kind of what the Raiders are looking forward to getting. Jason's got the Holiday Bowl. We've got the transfer portal that opens up Friday. Officially, guys can start signing with new schools. So it's a big weekend in college football.
Do you think Michigan loses a lot of guys? Or do you think they save face? Like, Winningham went over down to Florida to hang out with the parents and shake hands with everybody.
What's losing a lot of guys? I mean, guys are just going to leave just to leave anyways.
Typically more than 20, I think, right?
Okay. I know Florida State's got, I think, 30 guys in the portal right now.
God damn.
So that I would say is a lot. So
wow.
I was keeping their coach?
There was... I can't give Twitter credit to this too, but there was some, I want to say it was Oklahoma State, some player on Oklahoma State, and there was a tweet out basically like they're in the portal and they're gonna go do visits, and one of them was Oklahoma State, and he plays for Oklahoma State. They're like, oh, you're gonna go visit the school you're already at right now, just like utter insanity of the transfer portal.
You can enter the portal and then withdraw and go back to your school. So, yes, yeah. It is an option because you basically renegotiate a new deal. You're a free agent. So,
all right.
I know it's a different sport, Rome, but what did you guys think of? I mean, it's been getting a lot of play. The NBA guy.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about the guy going to Baylor?
The NCAA is full of shit. First of all right, you can't do one thing for basketball and then not the other thing for football. I think if you're gonna baseball, they do this, right? You can get drafted, but still, like, as long as you don't sign an agent, you can come back and play. It happens. You can get drafted like 3 years in a row. Just make that universal then. As long as you don't get paid in any athletic sport or like the main major league, fine. But to be drafted like 3 years ago, play professional overseas for a few years, then come back to college, I don't think so. He's too old. I'm not for it. But if you got drafted, decided not to go pro, and you want to come back, then fine.
I don't know. I guess the professional portion of it's the thing. Isn't there somebody like in the G League too that they're doing this for or something?
There are
like
three guys that have played in the G League and they've signed with college teams. Yeah.
I think that's the more, because that's directly associated with American professional, like, you know, American professional sports. So that's the thing you can't do in baseball as far as like go play. But yeah, it's crazy. But I
like G League doesn't get like a lot of love like on TV or anything like that. But by all accounts, it's a pretty intense like league to play in. It's definitely a level up from college.
I think there's a real thing. I mean, obviously, I'm not the basketball expert on this show by means, but I think there's a lot of people in NBA circles, like the G League is where they actually like have a lot of that intentional coaching and development where they're not building stars there. But when you look at the back half of rosters at NBA that turn into like, you know,
it's actually working
end of rotation guys that where teams can then plug in. I think that is where like the value has come to the G League over the past, you know, 5-10 years or whatever it's been.
But is the G League, I mean, I'm not following it, Rome, maybe you are, but is the G League going to kind of lose some of its steam now that NIL is big in college? Because before, guys were leaving college to go to the G League to get paid.
Yeah.
Now you make more, I believe, in college than you do off a contract in the G League. Now you're going against, I guess, kind of NBA prospect guys or guys that have been in and out of the league, so maybe the competition's a tad better. But I think college basketball with NIL is actually going to get a lot better, where guys aren't going to be so much one and done unless they're guaranteed lottery picks, because you got guys that won't even get drafted but are like 3-point specialists and can get $2-3 million to go play for a top 15 team in college basketball.
Yeah, if you remember Lonzo Ball, it wasn't Lonzo Ball, it was his brother, right? The one that plays for the Hornets. Melo, he was the one that made it popular where he decided not to play college and he went straight to the G League and then, you know, did that whole option. Because
he went overseas, right? He went overseas, right?
Something like that, yeah. But he can make money and develop faster. He avoided the whole thing and only played 1 year. He was actually a year early. So he was probably the last one. Cooper Flagg only played 1 year in college. Remember, he's supposed to be in college right now. He's a year ahead of schedule.
He just turned 19, like, what, 2 weeks ago?
Because he was supposed to be in high school last year, but he was at Duke because he graduated a year early. So it's a little different, but I think it's too early to tell on college basketball because the G League is still stacked with talent. But you're right, though. You can make way more money playing college basketball than you can make, because I think what the contract's like, a good one's $100,000 playing in the G League.
Yeah, that's garbage if that's what it is. I wasn't sure if it was that or $500,000, whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, NIL, college boosters, I mean, you're going to make bank.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're like a borderline first round guy, you can go into the, you know, transfer portal and make, you know, $1.5 million, $2 million and go play for a, you know, top 15 university.
Yeah,
easily.
But it's like I don't know if the G League has lost steam because that's not about money. That's about making the league. Now, college basketball, is it about making the league or is it just about making like a quick couple mil and like that's it?
It's a good question. It's a good question. Right? I mean, I think if you got, I mean, it goes both ways, right? I mean, if all the main guys are still going to stay in college, it might benefit you. I mean, because of the tournament exposure, you're on television. I mean, I don't need, does the G League even on TV?
I don't know. Is it NBA TV or something like that? I don't know.
They should. I'll get some of the Warrior. It's a Santa Cruz Warrior game sometimes here on the local NBC channel, but I'm not watching it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're not getting that exposure on TV. So you can get, I mean, so guys can get exposure on TV, a lot of games, all the, you know, apps and everything they're going.
We should be putting on TV, though. Like every other country, they put like their B, C, and D level pro leagues on it. Mexico puts every single level of like soccer, every single boxing match, like above making it pro is on TV. We don't really do a good job if it's not like the major leagues.
You guys could probably look at, I would guess the NBA app probably shows the G League games. But
it says, do you guys have the NBA app?
I don't.
It says ESPN Plus actually has it. NBA TV. Tubi offers free live stream or offers live streaming.
Nice.
DirecTV maybe. So that's just quick on the Google. I mean, take for what you will. I would say in your comparison, Rome, to other countries, though, I think that's just where like the pro leagues are just so much different because everything just is professional, and there's the promotion and relegation that makes that like possible, because those second and third tier leagues like mean potentially something of like graduating to the majors one day, where like a G League team isn't graduating to the NBA at any point.
I wish
these
we
are
did,
like
though.
Affiliates.
It'd be perfect.
Oh, I agree. It's just
at least,
never gonna
at
happen.
Basketball is perfect.
I think basketball is perfect for it. I think hockey could potentially do it. I mean,
baseball?
Baseball honestly can do it too, to be honest. Like, baseball might be even the more, because it gives the better comparison of like, you know, you look at these soccer teams in England, like they're in small towns. They don't have like massive stadiums like for things. So when these teams get promoted, like, man, they go play Manchester United, who's got like the NFL type stadium, versus, hey, you're in, I couldn't even tell you what team, you know, that has it, but like they're just, you know, but I forgot what I was trying to name that team, the Ryan Reynolds,
Wrexham.
They have the show up Wrexham. Yeah. Like, you know, Wrexham, small, tiny town, you know, in Wales, you know, not even in England, you know, it's in Wales. Yeah. It's not even in England. So, you know, that team gets promoted to the Premier League, maybe. I don't know where they're one step away from the Premier League, but, you know, hey, they're in this tiny stadium in this small town. That's not happening here, because the English, you know, owners of these teams want that to go away too, because they want guaranteed money. So I think that's where you run into why in Mexico or these other countries they play those, because those games mean something to those supporters, because there's a potential for them to graduate and be at another level.
Crazy side note: Wrexham sold a portion of the team, or at least they allowed some private equity money to like start competing for the Premier League. Pretty wild. All right.
Yeah.
But to go back to your argument, Aaron, I don't think they should be playing college ball. They already played pro. I'm against it.
Like, where do you draw the line? So if you get drafted, are you no longer eligible? Because, I mean, I think that's kind of the argument is like, hey, if you enter the NBA draft and you get drafted, then you no longer can go back.
I think once you sign a contract and you get paid, then you can't go back. If you get drafted, but you don't really play significantly, then you can go back.
But I think his thing was, I don't believe he ever appeared in an NBA regular season game. He played Summer League. He played G League. He played overseas for Barcelona for like 5 years, and now he's back in college.
Yeah, the Barcelona one, that's a pretty legit team. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a legit league.
Yeah.
I mean, so you can ask the Gasol brothers. That's where they came from.
Yeah, I don't. In that guy's case, the guy that signed with Baylor, right?
Yeah,
yeah, not eligible, man. It's not
I
fair.
Did see another guy,
and they should age it out too.
I think he's with the Bulls G League is trying to get back into college now because he's on a two-way contract or played like two games in the NBA, but yeah, it's wild.
There's a guy our age that just started playing college football this year, and he has like an NIL deal. He's making about $500,000, and I'm just like, what? Like,
what was this?
You said a guy our age?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, look it up. It's pretty wild. I'm thinking like, well, shit, maybe I should try. But knowing how injury prone I am,
what position is he playing?
I don't know, man. We gotta look it up though. But he's our age.
Division two?
He's playing college ball. Don't remember. I just remember reading about it. Couple weeks ago.
On it, man. He'll get on it. I should have saved it.
I should have bookmarked it.
Our little research guy. Yeah, I mean, you brought it up to me, Rome, when we were talking about it. I don't know, maybe a month, 2 months back. I think he's maybe, if he is playing like Division two, three, FBS, whatever it is, but
still, I wouldn't be able to get hit by 20-year-olds. That's fucking crazy. All yoked out.
I don't.
Hey, you get on that TRT, you'd be ready to go, man.
Yeah.
Maybe I should get on it.
The closest thing I got for 2025 right here is...
Oh, dude, they fouled Luka like crazy. Where's the foul at? This Detroit
team. I can't believe this website. I don't even know.
We'll get on in. We'll talk about it next time. Well, I'll do my research too.
I was going to say, I'm looking at this website I don't even know if this is a real website.
Well, what's it say? Give us a breakdown on this guy.
Well, I don't know if he's active. It's just the oldest college football player. In 2011, there was a 61-year-old kicker for...
This
was Faulkner University in Montgomery, Alabama.
I can believe it. Fits Alabama
so,
perfectly.
So, 61-year-old. 61-year-old
you
kicker.
Mean it's not over for us? I could be a kicker?
In 2011,
you'd probably tear your knee on a kick.
100%.
You'd be like, who just missed the ball altogether?
I have a good leg. If I can knock
your back
hurt.
Of the day, Rome.
Yeah,
I haven't heard. So the top two are kickers, both at 61. To be true,
that seems fair.
The oldest position player was 59 years old.
That's ridiculous.
Right. What year was this?
This was 2007.
Not even recent?
No. Seoul Ross State University in Alpine, Texas. There was a guy who played linebacker.
At 59. I'd love to see that. I'd pay to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you. My daughter hit me the other day. I'm like, I'm not dealing with that shit.
She just took you out?
She's strong, dude.
I guess their boy Tom Green at 60 years old, defensive lineman, made headlines in late 2025 pursuing his dreams as the football player here, it looks like.
Okay. Really?
Okay.
Just looking at some stuff here. Well,
I think we...
Okay, Rome, the guy you're looking for is a punter, I think 33 years old, played for Villanova. That might be the guy you're talking about.
Maybe. We'll double check.
Luke Larson.
Is he black? Doesn't sound like a black.
No, he's white, man. He's he's your whitest white guy.
I'm pretty sure I remember seeing a picture. You know, the news articles aren't always accurate though, like of putting up a picture.
But he is 33 years old, punter for Villanova.
That's too old.
So
all right.
This guy Tom Green, 60 years old, defensive lineman, was playing D3. Battling cancer as well to play. He's battling cancer to get out there on the field at 60 years old. So Tom
there's
Green,
gotta be some, there's
welcome
gotta be
to
some
Tom
ethical.
Green Show.
Dude, I used to love that show.
I love that show, man.
That was my favorite show.
You know.
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausage? Freddie got fingered.
I guess the moral of the story is, though, is we all have 4 years of eligibility left, so we just got to choose whether we're going to use them or not.
Fuck, dude. I'm going to go play golf.
Yeah, there's no sport that says you cannot or can play, right?
The only thing is, I played golf with Rome, and let me tell you, he's got a long way.
It's been a while, dude. Let's just play again, all right?
It's good to get a third source because the sources Rome be paying, be like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm good, man. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But I didn't count
dude,
that.
Now
hole.
My
yeah,
drive's at least 300. All right, I worked my ass off, but I haven't played golf all year because I've been injured. So let me get back to it.
But he hasn't played all year. Let's see that quote.
Save it. I'm good on the greens.
Hey Jason, all put right? that on your notepad. Put that on your notepad.
On my notepad.
All right. What's your handicap now, Jason?
All year.
I'm like probably like a 13 handicap.
That's not bad.
Thirteen.
That's what I am in my head right now, but I don't know what I am in reality. We got.
But again, like you, Rome, I played three times this year. I'm not retired. But I do not go as frequently as I did. I've only played three rounds this year.
I just want to go once a week. That's it. It's been such a pain in the ass doing it this year.
You gotta join a club.
It's just there. I don't have the burning desire, man. And you know when you're like when you just can't do it anymore and you don't have the desire, you know, you just got to walk away.
I want my daughter to play golf so badly. I took her to play miniature golf yesterday, and she fucking hit the shit out of the ball, like. Off of the course and hit two people on the next one.
She play any tennis?
No, but she's interested though.
I can see you doing some tennis.
You work on the miniature golf. It's about short game, so I don't think power is really into that. So I think you need to start teaching her exactly how to do that. So
I try to, but
she's probably just still upset about the Steelers. That's what I really think it was in that moment. It was just like, man, I you know.
That new Mario game you got her for Christmas, right? Sounds like Mario, both of those things got her out of her game right now, out of her element.
Yeah, dude, Bowser beat her up the other day. She's pretty bummed about that one.
He's the Ravens. He's Derrick Henry. That's all you got to say. That's the Ravens. That's Derrick Henry.
Fucking Ravens, man. Steelers all the way this weekend. All right, I'll do it for college football then. Round two, college football playoffs. Little banter about basketball and everything else for like the last 25 minutes. Catch NFL lines for the final week and recap after the New Year's. We'll do a we never did a beer earlier in the year. We should probably do a beer on the pod. New Year's pod. All right, we're out.